Thanks very much. Marjorie asked me if I would say a few words about Maggie and about why this lecture was established, and it's an honor for me to do that. Maggie was a feminist, a social activist, a scholar, a teacher, a musician, and a friend. I first laid eyes on her in 1966, when I was a young faculty member at Simon Fraser, and I saw walking into the cafeteria tall, beautiful woman with long blonde hair, and I can assure you that mine were not the only eyes upon her. We quickly became friends, since we were both feminists, but also because there were so few women faculty members at Simon Fraser at that time that we could, as I said earlier in the day, caucus in the downstairs broom closet. So we were a mutual support kind of an organization. Maggie and I were working on campus as well as off campus. And Maggie did not separate her feminism from all other types of social activism. She was there for demonstrations when there was a strike, when women were trying to organize a workplace, etc., etc. And frequently she would be there in her capacity as a musician, as a member of the euphoniously feminist and non-performing quintet, which could have any number of people playing in it. And she was one of the founders of this group as well. And so she'd often be at demos or fundraisers playing the guitar and singing, etc. And the group did both traditional songs and songs of their own making, songs that talked about life as we knew it. As a scholar, Maggie had been trained as a theoretical chemist, and she was teaching in the chemistry department. But right from the start, she began to teach courses known as science and society, courses which were geared for the non-science major, trying to bridge that gap between scientists and the rest of us who, you know, don't know the scientific method if it comes up and bites us, and trying to explain to us how it worked. She, at that time, although she was writing textbooks in chemistry, she wrote the foundational feminist article called The Political Economy of Women's Work, which first appeared in Monthly Review. And she was one of the first to recognize and argue that the unpaid labor of women counted very, very importantly in the productivity of a society. And she investigated the way in which the political economy of that labor and the labor and in paid labor in the wage force interacted. Now, we were working, of course, toward the establishment of the Women's Studies program on campus, and that was kind of the end of her work. When she moved from the chemistry department into the computing science department, she immediately began to do groundbreaking research on the interface between technology and women's lives and technology and and women. As a teacher, she was, as you can imagine, much beloved, and she had a breadth of knowledge. She could teach, she could teach theoretical chemistry, but on the other end of the spectrum, she was teaching feminist science fiction and kind of everything in between. She never shirked from a demonstration, and she never shirked from a class. And as I say, she was much highly regarded by her students. I frequently say to people that Maggie was the most intelligent person that I have ever had the privilege of knowing. And what I mean by that is not only her analytical abilities, which were great, nor the breadth of her knowledge, which was also really, I mean, she would read and did read anything, which was a good job since she and I could then talk about British 19th century literature, because I certainly could not talk about chemistry. I can tell you just a funny little anecdote is that Maggie and I had a cabin together on one of the Gulf Islands, and believe me, our outhouse was known as the best supplied with reading material of any place on the island. But in addition to all that, what Maggie had was the ability to connect. She could take disparate ideas, disparate realities, and bring them together to see a new way forward. She was just marvelous for that. And it is probably that, above and beyond everything, that which is the reason why I say this, that she was the most intelligent person I have ever known. She was diagnosed with ovarian cancer when she was in her late 40s. Now, she was a scientist. She knew what this meant. But she fought. She fought with traditional therapies, and she also fought with experimental therapies. And when it became clear that none of these were going to work, she faced her death as she had faced her life, as herself. When you went to see her, she was funny. She wanted to talk about the latest political shenanigans going on. She wanted to talk about a new book you had read or a new movie you had seen. And if you had a nice bit of gossip, that was okay too. She was who she was. This was how she faced her death as she had faced her life. As a feminist, as a social activist, as a scholar, as a teacher, and as a friend to all of us. Thank you.